Welcome to another episode of the Pink Hat, otherwise known as the Roze Hoed. We're recording at the Vakwerkhuis in Delft, home base of the Delft Fringe Festival. And in this podcast, we'll introduce to you some of the fine makers that will perform at the 2023 edition of the Delft Fringe Festival. This edition will take place from May 31st until June 11th, 2023. My name is Raymond, and I will be your host for this episode. The Delft Fringe Festival, for those of you who don't have a clue at all, is a performing arts festival which takes place every year in the heart of Delft, a lovely city in the Netherlands. The festival serves as a platform for new and upcoming makers who are eager to show their own theater, music, opera, cabaret, dance, and crossover productions to a greedy audience. The performances will not take place in theaters, but in cozy venues such as a windmill, an old cigar factory, a museum, a former city farm, a hidden church, etc., etc. Like, all the more reason to visit the festival. Enough about the festival itself, it's time to talk to some of the makers who will actually perform at the festival. We have two makers sitting at the table here, and, well, let me introduce them to you. We've got Alienated, represented by Kelly Van Nesten. We might say she's a true Delft Fringe Festival veteran by now, because she's performing for a third year in a row. And Alienated combines dance and object manipulation. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes, you're saying that correctly.
Awesome. And in previous editions, we've seen you like dance with shopping carts and referee chairs. It was super impressive. That's Alienated. And we also have Caleritas. And Caleritas is all about music from the 17th and 18th century, as well as their own contemporary music.
Exactly.
It's comprised of Julia Hernandez Sanchez, who is playing baroque violin, and Eduard Gaspar Polo Bader, who is playing traverso.
Exactly.
Wow, nice. Good to have you here. And Galeritas aims to create a dialogue between the past and the present with their instruments. Well, welcome to you two.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just to make some quick introductions by yourself, we've asked you to prepare yourself through the following question. Kelly, we're going to start off with you first. Mm-hmm. Could you describe your participation at the Delft Fringe Festival in one emoticon?
There's one emoticon that has top under it and then an arrow going up. Mm-hmm. I chose that one because of various reasons. One, I like heights, I like risks. And in my work, there is some risk always, and a top is going up, that one. And next to that, indeed, it's my third year. And every time I feel like we're leveling up a little bit. And this year, you guys are also helping me with a development plan. So yeah, I thought this would be the perfect emoticon.
Awesome. So we can expect even bigger performances.
I hope so, yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Amazing.
Gaspar, for you the same thing.
Uh-huh. I chose an emoticon, which is a test probe with a greenish substance in it. And the reason I chose this is because we're making a bit of an alchemy here. We are combining two things and we hope to get a new result, which we don't know. We don't really know what to expect. The first time we're combining contemporary and early music. And we're excited whether there will be such alchemy.
Oh, nice. So it's going to be like one big experiment, basically.
It will be, yes.
Oh, that's nice. I'm looking forward to it. Well, here, you cannot see it while listening to the podcast, but we have some questions prepared here on the table in our cute little pink hat. And we've prepared a couple of questions, and we're going to start off with either a pink or a yellow question. And what does it mean? The pink ones are questions about being a maker, and the yellow ones are more like general questions about you as a performer and how your yeah, in your life as a performer and doing you're doing your stuff. So Gaspar, can I ask you to like either pick a pink one or a yellow one from the hat?
Yes.
It's gonna be total random. We have no clue. Where do you go?
Both coming. So I took a pink one.
All right. It might be in Dutch, though, if you're comfortable.
It is in English.
So oh, awesome.
Luckily. What do you hope the Delft Fringe Festival will bring you?
Ooh.
So I'm very happy to participate because I live in Delft at the moment. Also, my partner from Galeritas, we're both living here. And we came across the Fringe Festival last year, which was the first time we were around. And we saw a big pink rabbit in the market square. And we thought, well, what is going on here? And we went to several of the performances and thought it was really amazing. And we're very interested in connecting with the local community in Delft. So we thought this is a great opportunity and also to extend it, obviously, because many people from outside Delft come to the Delft Festival. But we're very excited to be a local group also participating in it because it gives an old city a very exciting and new image, I think, which we find very beautiful and very inspiring. So we're extremely excited to participate.
I can imagine like the city fully helps you out with your experience being an old city with new elements as well. So I can imagine that works really well. The whole rabbit thing needs a little bit of explanation, I guess, for those of you who have not been to Delft prior before. During the festival, we have like a huge giant pink bunny / rabbit on the market, which is like the central marketplace in the heart of the city center. And it's huge and we sell tickets from the bunny. So if you have time, visit us just to see the bunny. And if you're there, visit some performances as well, like in one of the amazing venues that we have. I was wondering, like, do you think you'll be able to attract more like of audience because you live here, because you have like friends maybe here, or how does that work?
We hope so, but we also hope to benefit from the huge platform that the Delft Fringe Festival is, and to extend our listeners and viewers beyond our usual audience. So I hope there will be a nice mix between people we already know and newcomers.
Nice. Kelly, did you meet some interesting people from the past here that you hope to see again during your performance?
Yeah, for sure. We stayed here as well last year, so we lived here during the festival. And at the place where we were, we met some really lovely people. And they also came to the last show we did at Lichtjesavond.
Oh, wow.
With Delft. I sent them a little text message and then they just came over. So yeah, I hope to see them again this year.
Nice. Could I ask you to pick another question from
you took the pink
hand?
One, so I will take a yellow one.
All right. And what does it say?
What audience reaction has stayed with you most from this or any other performances you have ever made or played? Ooh, difficult one.
Is there one person that you really have in mind while reading this question, or like a situation that comes to mind?
I think just in general, if I really look to the people in the audience, there are sometimes funny faces because some things we do are kind of dangerous. So we get a lot of reactions. Mm-hmm. And that's just really nice to see, because then you know they are really triggered by it and they're really feeling it. And yeah, I think that's a really nice reaction you can have.
Is there something specific about the audience that you met here in Delft compared to other audiences, or is it similar? It's like, is every audience the same?
I think it really depends from the atmosphere there is already in the place itself. Because I really felt, because you're performing at different places, the reactions are different as well in the place where you are performing, because it gives a complete package. Because this year, for example, I'm in a church, but I'm also here in Fachwerkhaus. And Fachwerkhaus is really more industrial kind of feeling, and a church is really historical. So my piece will have a completely different feeling and touch to it. So I think, and what I noticed also as well other years, the reaction you get is a little bit different because the intimacy from place to place is as well different.
That's interesting. So if you look back, what suits your performance best? Like a more intimate setting or like a bigger setting?
A more intimate setting, but my work needs big places. So I try to make it intimate in the big space.
Ah, nice. That must be challenging though.
Yeah, definitely. But it's nice. If you place the public a little bit closer within the range you can, that brings them as well more in the piece instead of out of the piece. And as well, here you can play with, in a black box, it's like one-sided. The people are always in the front, but here you can choose where you place your public so they can have completely different perspectives, which you most of the time don't have in a theater.
Okay. Gaspar, how about you? Do you remember like one person, one situation that sticks with you like for the rest of your life?
In terms of audience reactions?
Yeah, audience or like one specific situation while performing.
Yeah, well, yeah, I remember we did a performance, funnily enough, in the Windmill, which is one of the locations in the festival, but it was not during the festival. And I talked about how seeing the windmill from the station the first time I came to Delft meant a feeling of coming home in some way. And one of the audience members, who was Norwegian, after the performance told me that they had experienced the exact same feeling the first time they came. So it was a very beautiful moment of connecting. And that's what I love about performing also in intimate and smaller settings, because you can really establish these personal connections with the audience. And I really value that.
It's nice because, like Kelly just said, she needs like a lot of space because she's performing as a dancer. And dancers 9 out of 10 times need a lot of space. For you, that must be different, playing music with like traditional instruments even. Mm-hmm. Do you think you're more versatile in that sense?
Well, on the one hand, yes, because we can play in, we can play in almost any space. On the other hand, these instruments are very soft, so they also require an intimate setting. If the acoustics are very big, like in a church, for instance, you can sort of escape around that. But if you're 50 meters away, you don't get any of it anymore. So the intimacy and the closeness is sort of implied by the type of sound we make.
Nice. Maybe we could like move to the next question. I think you just took a pink one. Could you maybe take a yellow one?
Sure.
And see what it brings us.
Okay. What does your rehearsal process look like? Very interesting. So for this performance, we're collaborating with a composer, Spanish composer Mirel Villanueva. Whose music we've been admiring for a long time, and who we asked to find some new sounds for these old instruments we're playing. And the rehearsal process in that sense looks a bit like we give him some technical insights into the instruments we're playing, because he never composed for them. So, and then there's a bit of a ping pong. So he sends up some material. We try it out, we see what could work best, we send recordings back, he changes things, he develops things, and etc. We react to each other. And by the end of it, we get a whole piece. And then it is a completely new piece in a language we don't know, so we have to explore it very little by little and find out what every note means and what the flow, what the tension arch between the early music and the new music is. And so that's where we're in at the moment, actually.
All right. Is the composer going to be at the festival as well to see like how the reaction of the audience is going to be like, and maybe adjust a little bit during along the way?
He's hoping to be here. He's a professional composer, also working full time. So he doesn't know yet whether he'll be able to, but he'll do his best to be there, and he'll definitely give us feedback on recordings we'll send him.
Oh, that's awesome! So you're going to record your performances and send it back to him?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes, because even if he wouldn't be there, he can definitely check. Okay, this didn't quite work out. Maybe you can adjust this and that. We go on to the next. Yeah.
So it's going to be as drastic as like the first performance is going to be a little bit different from like the last performance that you will.
I'm sure it will, because also we in especially in the 18th century, one of the pieces the earlier music we'll be playing in our performance is from the 18th century, and improvisation was a very important part of playing music back then. So there'll be an improvised element to our performance for sure, and that will mean that everyone will be different. Each performance will be different.
How about you, nice. Kelly? Is it like, how does it look for you? Like, how do you prepare yourself? How do you rehearse?
Well, this time I'm going to work with dancers that I don't know at all. We just had an audition and we have two new people joining the team. So the first part, we will have a small residency in my own studio where we will really get to know each other movement-wise with the subject. Normally I work with object manipulation like Raymond said, and this time I'm not using a real object. I'm replacing the object by a person, and we're going to see where we can take that. And
but is the human going to be an object then?
We're going to try, and how much we can make it look like it is an object, or how we grab them, or how we lift a person, like how can a body completely transform and be in a different quality, like it seems that it's not really there as a human, but more as an object. And then as well, how aggressive can you get in grabbing things, or how soft do you take something, because you will be more like, I'm showing it, but you don't see it. So it's, yeah, it's completely different to take skin than take an object. And we are completely not aware in how we take certain things. So yeah, that's going to be an interesting research that we're really going to do for the first 2-3 weeks. And we're also going to go abroad in residency to really like get to know each other, live together, work together and be in a space to go in depth of the research. And then after that, we come back to the Netherlands. And there we're going to really set the piece and complete the research. And then Delft will be the first performances.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to also get then the feedback from all the different public, different views. And how I'm going to work, it's going to be most improvisation-based first. And from out of the improvisations, when I give them tasks or sentences there, we're going to set material.
Nice. Can I ask you to draw a pink question? Because
yes.
You just had a yellow one. And what does it say?
What is the biggest misconception about being a maker in the cultural field?
Well, that's a tough one.
It's a really tough one.
What is the biggest misconception? Are there any misconceptions?
Definitely.
How so?
But I cannot like pinch one out, because my first reaction would be like, it's not that easy as you think. We make it seem easy on stage, but we have to do a lot as well beforehand. But I do feel like nowadays people already know more.
Okay. But you say like we do a lot. What does it mean? Like do a lot?
The research that you have to do before, like finding the connect partners, the correct places to be. Where do you place yourself in the working field? What do I stand for? It's a full process that we have before we are really there. And sometimes they expect us to be already there, but how can we know if we only made like a few pieces? So yeah, it's a process, and it's a lot of work.
Do you think people take it for granted what you do?
That not. I think people really enjoy the work and they appreciate it and they still want to invest in makers. Otherwise, we would also not be sitting here. But definitely in some parts, if you look to the government, if things need to be cut, it's normal somehow that the first thing that is going to be cut is money for culture, because it's seen a lot as a thing for a hobby instead of work. So I think that's still the most difficult thing, and how are we going to develop still this? And
because it is your job.
It is my job, yes. And I live full time from it. And I don't have any side job. But because of that, it is really a hustle sometimes. And for me as a maker, I ask myself a lot, how can I be sustainable? Sustainable in making my art, making us visible constantly as a company, but also financially, how can I support the family when I'm older? So, yeah, I think that are a lot of questions that we sometimes have, and that makes it difficult if the first thing that's always cut it is art, because sometimes it seems less important or the easiest to take away.
Well, thank you. I'm letting that sink in because it's very well put, in my opinion. Let's move on to the final part of this podcast. Gaspar, could you pull a blue statement from the pink hat and tell us what it says?
I want my audience to walk out with a positive feeling.
Well, that's a good question after the drop that I just made.
Yes. Well, I think it's an interesting statement because I think we're getting to the point. I mean, for some years, where art doesn't necessarily have to do that. It can also create discomfort in an audience, and it can be very valuable. In our case, we would want the audience to get away with a positive feeling. And with some questions also, perhaps we would like to have the audience go away with more questions than answers. That would be my reaction to it.
Nice. And what would happen for you if they do not leave the venue like that?
Well, then a critical process begins for us, right? And we'll see that it's nice to have the span of having 8 performances in total and seeing what you have to change, because I'm sure we'll change things from the first to the last. And every audience is different. And especially if you're talking about small settings, the energy changes a lot between one group of people and the other. So you have to read your audience and change things. And that might not be so obvious if you're playing music and not necessarily speaking a lot, although we will introduce the music we're playing. But you can change things, and there is interaction even when playing, and you can have eye contact. Your language between each other, between the two performers, changes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there is not a great connection, and you have to live with that, and obviously ask yourself why that happened and try to make it better next time. But yeah, it's nice that the Delft Fringe Festival also gives us the chance to try and maybe not be successful. Although we'll do our very best to do so.
The future will tell.
The future will tell.
Kelly, can I ask you to draw a blue statement as well? And could you read out loud what it says?
I can. Performers, artists are framed too much by the idea of different art disciplines.
All right.
Are we not all making almost interdisciplinary art nowadays? Is it still a thing?
Is that so? That's a good question. Are we all influenced, or are there people out there who are more like purists, or so intensely obsessed by one thing only that they only do that?
I think there definitely are still artists like that. And I think that's really nice, because nowadays a lot of things are fluent together. For me as a dancer, I need other disciplines. Otherwise, my work would not be complete. I feel like I need musicians. In my work, I also need more the acrobatic side. So that's really a base as well from circus. So for me, it's really fundamental that it's interdisciplinary to make my work what my work is. So,
yeah. Some people might say, like, if you don't dive enough into your own discipline, you'll never reach the high top, because you're distracted so much by other things besides the thing that you're really good at. So why would you invest time in something that you're not the best at, instead of doing just what you're super good at and just do that?
Because you can make it your own by taking, not ideas, but taking methods and visions from other disciplines. If you bring that into your own practice can develop in a broader way, in a different way. And I think that's what makes my work different than some other work. But I still focus on my base. My base is still movement, but movement can be in so many different ways.
All right. That sounds exciting almost.
Yes, it makes me feel excited.
Like a research, ongoing research, like movement, just without labeling it as being dance or something specific.
Exactly,
just movement. Nice. Well, we've reached the end of this podcast. It's time to wrap this up. Thank you for being here. Listen to Kelly Vanessa from Alienated Performance, Gaspar from Kelleritas. It's going to be all about music, and Kelly's going to be all about movement, as she says, moving the body, not labeling things. Yeah, that's it. Thank you for listening to The Pink Hat, otherwise known as the Roze Hoed. For more information about the Delft Fringe Festival, just go to www.delftfringefestival.nl. We have an English section on the website there, where you can find more about the festival and the performers and the makers. It's going to be from May 31st until June 11th, 2023. We all hope to see you there.
Be there.
And we hope that you will enjoy these makers and other performances as well. See you there.